This is Jeff Steger of the Agriculture Show. This is episode number 72, and it was recorded on February the 4th of 2014. It is a recording of the North Dumfries Community Club. The club has been in existence for 100 years and provides information and socializing for the rural community in North Dumfries. But all are welcome. And we'll be back.
This is Mark Reeser. You are listening to CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Federation represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
I'd like to welcome everybody. It's been a couple of months since we were together, and we've had lots of snow. I hope everybody's getting through it okay. I see lots of different faces this evening, and what a treat that is. I hope you enjoyed meeting and come back again. Shall we stand and sing O Canada?
O Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love in all our sons command. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north, strong and free. From far and wide, stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. O Canada, we stand on guard. Nobody needs one, well, we'll leave it at the fire hall then.
Put it in the historical collection.
let's have a treasurer's report, please.
We have a grand total of $416.12 in the account. We bought a GIC for $1,300, and we bought it for 3 years because the rate for originally you wanted a 3 year and a 5 year. However, the rate for 3 years was better than 5 years, so I just put it all into the 3 year. That's good. And that's it.
I don't see Norm Perryman. He's in charge of next month's meeting. I know that there's a police officer coming to speak on seniors and what we should look out for. I think that's what it is. So I'm going to turn the meeting over to George and Gwen Berry, and they'll take it from here.
Thanks, Judy, and I should let you know who our whole committee is, and it's the Murrays and the Bill Hendersons and Audrey and the Houstons. I think that's it. Anyway, they all played a part in preparing the program for tonight. I really got to tell you about a great book I read. I hope a lot of you have it. Chris Hadfield's An Astronaut's Guide to Life. It's really terrific reading. Really terrific. And once you get into it, you want to put it down. Now, I guess there was a Super Bowl the other day, wasn't there?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. It wasn't much of a game, was it?
No.
Seattle really outplayed Denver by a great area. But anyway, I've got a Super Bowl story. And this guy, John, received a free ticket to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, his seat was in the very, very back, up way up in the high back row, and said he was closer to the Goodyear blimp than he was to the stadium. But he noticed there was an empty seat way down at the 50-yard line, so he made his way down to this seat, and as he sat down, he asked the man next to him if anyone was sitting there. The fellow said, told him, no, it was empty. Well, John was very excited to have this seat right down at the 50-yard line. He asked why in the world no one was using it. Well, the fellow said that it was his wife's seat, and he and his wife had been coming to the Super Bowl games for something like 28 years. But John was really sad. He said that his wife had died. And well, John asked him, well, couldn't you find somebody else to use the seat? He said, no, they're all at the funeral. And as usual, I want to read you the minutes of the 1951 Community Club meeting. I'll try and be in there quickly. February 6, 1951. The ladies' meeting of the Central Dumfries Farmers Club was held at the Stone School with President Bob Ford in charge. It was moved by Frank Brown, seconded by Bob Brown, that the minutes of the previous meeting be adopted as read. Andrew Taylor gave his co-op report and read the cooperative financial statement, which he moved and seconded by Harvey Milroy. Harvey Milroy now announced the box social to be held at the Stone School Community Center and that he started a discussion on the club chairs. It was moved by George Sandylands, seconded by R.G. Brown, that if the Central Dumfries Women's Institute was agreeable, the club chairs should be left at the Stone School and that the Stone School Community Center buy more chairs of the folding type to bring them up to a sufficient number. The president then turned the chair over to Mrs. Ford Sutton, who conducted the following program. After a few words of welcome, the program began with several songs from the girls' chorus. It was composed of Helen Cochran, Mary Thompson, Viola Wright, Donna Reynolds, and Audrey Knapp. Mrs. A.G. Taylor gave a reading. Mrs. John D. Moore read the club paper. Several musical selections were given by the Central Dumfries Symphonettes, a mock band made up of Mrs. Earl Thompson, Mrs. R.G. Brown, Mrs. Robert E. Ford, Mrs. Steve Marco, Mrs. Harvey Milroy, Mrs. Bob Brown, and Mrs. Breathauer. Miss Helen Cochran introduced the speaker, Miss Stewart of the GCI staff, who spoke of the highlights of her year as an exchange student in England. Mrs. R.G. Ford moved a vote of thanks to Miss Stewart. Mary Thompson sang two solos, accompanied by Mrs. Thompson. Madam Cornelius Beauty Parlor was presented by the following: Mrs. R.G. Brown, Viola Wright, Mrs. Herb Wilson, Mrs. James Barry, Mrs. Jim Taylor, Mrs. Toots Lissel, Jeannie Ford, Dorothy Easton, Margaret Taylor, Mrs. Harvey Mulroy, and Mrs. Cliff Hall. Earl Curry moved a vote of thanks to the ladies for their excellent program. After the motion, after the national anthem, lunch was served by the lunch committee. That was it. That was the meeting in 1951. So, at this time, we're going to have some musical selections, and if Audrey and Jack would come up, do their thing.
You are too. Yeah. So that's, what year was that?
51.
51. We're going to figure out how a whole lot of you.
Speaker.
Well, how do you follow that?
You can sing it.
Anyway, I've been asked by George to introduce our speaker for the evening. His name is David Piper, and I'm sure he needs no introduction with this group. Dave is well known for his hard work and dedication, serving as the chairman of the 2012 Waterloo Region International Plowing Match. Dave hails originally from Hamilton, but his ties to North Dumfries were first established when his ancestors settled here in 1832. He has lived on Sprague's Road near the township office with his wife, Gail, for the past 20 years. Dave had a long and successful career as an educator in Brantford and Brant County for 33 years. He served for 15 years as a school principal and 5 years as a board superintendent. He has also served as a member of various board committees at Cambridge Memorial Hospital. Since his retirement, Dave was involved for several years with the IPM and has now turned his time and attention to another strong area of interest for him, the preservation of the history of North Dumfries. I have had the pleasure of working with Dave over the past year on a committee which has brought to fruition the establishment of the North Dumfries Historical Preservation Society. This group has been given space in the North Dumfries Community Complex, and plans are underway to develop a North Dumfries Archives. Dave is the co-chair of the society and is here to talk to you tonight about the goals of this organization and its plans for the future. Please join me in welcoming David Piper.
Thanks very much, Rosemary. That was very generous of you. Yes, this is an area of personal interest for me, having spent 4 years of my life at McMaster in the History and Political Science Department. All those years ago, I haven't used that a whole lot since. I did teach history for about, maybe 8 years. And after that, I haven't used it very much. So it's sort of nice when you're retired to go back to the things that you love the most and get yourself into it, get your hands into it, get a little bit dirty with it, and that's what this is all about. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about heritage tonight. Now, I don't think if one of these banks can go off on the light. Is it possible to turn one bank off? I don't know if they'd work that way. No, don't turn them all off. Somebody be kissing and necking in the back. That's perfect. Just go back. Yeah, right there is fine. Perfect. Thanks very much. This you'll see it a little bit better, I think. North Dumfries heritage, as Rosemary said, my ancestors came here in 1832 from borders of Scotland, from around Howick and Roxborough area. There were four brothers who settled here, three stayed, one left here and moved up to Seaforth, and that's the one I'm descended from. So from there on, my family moved from Seaforth to Hamilton and various places. The other three brothers, and they were all named Scott, last name was Scott, they all settled here. So there's a variety of Scots in this area that I'm related to, although I don't know any of them. So it goes back really a little too far. Heritage, I think, is important to everybody. George read the minutes from February the 6th, 1951. That's actually before I was born, George, so I felt really good about that.
Bragging.
Yeah, bragging, yeah. So it's really interesting for me to hear that kind of stuff, and for people to, you know, think back to how people lived, and they really don't live a lot differently than we do. They don't have maybe the technology we do, but they have the same lifestyle, the same interests, the same values, the same strengths and weaknesses, the same things in their lives that are important to them. And when we go back in our heritage and sort of look that through that, I think it validates it for us in our own lives, and also how we became who we are. And I always find that to be a fascinating thing. And in North Dumfries in particular, there's a whole depth of heritage here. And when you listen to those names in that minute book, you can hear the same names over again, so many of them who are still very present in this community. And as Rosemary and I were talking earlier before we started tonight, she said, I'm waiting on John to come. And I said, John who? And she says, my cousin John. And I said, who's your cousin John? Oh, John Dunnett. Well, I've known John Dunnett for 2 or 3 years. I had no clue he was related to Rosemary, and I've worked with both of them. So it's always important in small communities to be very careful about what you say about anybody at any time, because there's always a connection here somewhere. So So let me tell you a little bit about our project, which I think is very interesting for us,
for sure. We called ourselves the Preservation Society, and that sounds rather pompous particularly, and I think we chose it for that reason, actually. We wanted something that was sort of a standout, that would ring with people, but people wouldn't forget that name very much. And it's not just about history, in the sense of a historical society that just looks into history and that's its only focus. Ours is history, but also the preservation of it. And that's where the archival part of this comes to bear. We started about 2013. There had been a project, I'll talk more about this later, in 2004 to try and get this off the ground. It didn't take root. Our mandate, from our perspective, is the preservation of municipal and community archives here in this particular community, because there's not a lot that has been preserved well, if I could say that and be polite. Our goal, though, is to collaborate as much as possible with members of the community, but in particular with the township, because the township does have some responsibility when it comes to municipal records, that it's a legal responsibility, which we'll talk about later. Our mandate actually goes a little beyond that. So what are we not? I've sort of told you a little bit about what we are. We're not a legal entity yet. We do intend to be incorporated as a not-for-profit organization. The reason for us doing that will be in order for us to apply for various grants like Trillium grants and things of that nature. We are not funded by a government in any way, shape, or form. I shouldn't say that. We are subsidized slightly right now by the government because the township has generously provided us with some space at the township office. So that's the only drain on tax money that we've assumed at this point. Outside of that, we're a privately funded organization. We're not responsible for municipal archives, and I'll talk a little bit more about the difference between community archives and municipal archives. And we're not done. We're not done at all. In fact, we've hardly started. We're just getting underway. These are some of the members, our members actually, that we've had on our committee to pull us along this far. Many of them are here today, and you'll know most of them, I think, including Michelle Hopkins from the library, and that's a good connection for us because the library houses a whole lot of materials on the history of this particular township. Now, we do get some support and assistance from a variety of groups. We're about to become members of the Archival Association of Ontario, and we participate in the Waterloo Region Archives Interest Group. It's a group where people who are involved with archives all across the region get together and share their common interests. It's not a particularly lively meeting, but it's worthwhile attending. We work with the City of Cambridge Archives, and Lynn, who is the archivist there, has toured us around, showed us how they've structured their programs, and given us some guidance on what we need to do, and in fact has offered us some free shelving for our archives here in North Dumfries that they're not using in Cambridge. We haven't got that yet, but that offer's been made, and that was very generous. We are the Waterloo Region Archives chair is a young gal named Charlotte Woodley. She's a big resource for us. We have been supported by the Cambridge North Dumfries Foundation to the tune of about $3,000 this year, which has been a big plus for us. We have a budget of about $4,500 to lift this off the ground and get structured and set up for the first year, and we have already exceeded that amount. The library, of course, and the Municipal Heritage Group. Now, the Municipal Heritage Group is a civic civic committee, so it's a township committee, for the purposes of looking after buildings of heritage and of note within the township. We have nothing to do with them. We're not a bricks and mortar group. We're strictly a paper group, basically. So a records group. We certainly support them in what they do. They support us in what we do. But we're not the same group, and we don't really connect in any formal way. So the background of this, I said earlier, this started about 2004. Ben Benninger, before he was on council, pulled together a group of people, which included myself and Jim Berry, George's brother, several others. Kathy McGarry was one, and I can't remember all of them, actually. And we put a proposal together to council about trying to establish an archives back in 2004. Took it to council, it was turned down. It was turned down for a variety of reasons. And in hindsight, I think one of the big reasons was we went at it the wrong way. We went in asking for way too much, way too fast, and assumed that we had way too much to offer before we really had our feet on the ground. And I think council was probably right at that time in some sense of saying you're not ready for this. So that sort of went on the shelf for a variety of years. About 2010, a young gal named Rachel Redshaw, many of you will know her, she worked at the township office and she worked a couple summers there. And she worked in the records downstairs in the archives and she started getting some of that organized. 2011, Dickey Settlement, the Dickey Settlement study and history was put together. A couple people from our committee, including Ron Sage here, were involved with that project. They sold how many books, Ron? Over 200, isn't it?
Well over 200, yes.
Well over 200 of those books were sold. I don't know if you've seen them, but it's a very interesting study. And then, of course, in 2012, we had the plowing match. And one of our big focuses was on heritage, heritage of the region, but particularly heritage here within North Dumfries. And if you were at the plowing match, I know we had 4x8 information sheets that we put together on the history of the area and the history of the township. And when all of this was sort of said and done, a lot of the people who were involved with these two groups were looking for something else to put their time and effort into, really, and that's really where this comes from. Sort of the combination of those two groups, and based on the work that was done back in 2004. So up to date, we have met monthly since January of 2013, so we're into about 13 meetings at this point. We meet regularly with the municipal archivists and support groups within the region. We visited a variety of archives, you'll see them listed there, and we have established our terms of reference, our mission, our vision, our goals, and we did a presentation to council, and it was from that presentation and their recognition of the need for this now, and also our assistance in helping them understand their legal responsibilities for this, that I think we were able to get this finally off the ground. And that's why we have some space within some of the municipal buildings now. So we're working towards, as an association, building what is, we refer to as a total archives. That's an archival term. I'm not a professional archivist, so this has been new to me in the last year as well. Total archives has two sections, the municipal archives and the community archives. And in a nutshell, the municipal archives is the responsibility of the municipal body. So in this case, the township, could be a city, could be the region. They are responsible to protect, preserve, and maintain, and make available to anyone wanting it, any archival materials that they have produced. So it could be budgets, financial records, it could be some of the old records would include marriage records, you would see that, council meeting records, motions, proposals, anything of that nature is what technically a municipal archive. That would include voting lists and things of that nature. They have to keep that. They have a job to look after it, to maintain it and preserve it. That has really not been done well over the last number of years here, and that was part of our assessment and our feedback to the township. And I think one of the reasons why they recognize this had to be dealt with. Currently everything's in the basement, the township office. Now it's not really a swamp down there, but it may have been that at one time. They've had some problems down there. Currently things are fairly well organized. They're in the basement, a lot of file cabinets, things on in binders and books and things, but they're still not maybe as coordinated with and accessible for the people that people might want. And there have been things lost and damaged over the years, and that's a shame. So the municipality has a job to do, and we want to work in partnership with them. We want to support them, we want to provide volunteers to help them with their work, because if we don't provide volunteers for them, guess who pays? We do through our taxes. So they have to hire people then to do it, to do the basic legwork, and we've got some people here who have interest in history. I mean, look how many people came up and looked at all the materials at the beginning tonight. None of this stuff even relates to North Dumfries. We're just interested in the past. Now the community archives on the other hand, I'll get over here this time because I'm going to show some examples. These are records that are not generated by the municipality, but generated within the municipality by the people who live there. So it could be newspapers, deeds, journals, postcards, posters, anything that's paper, even some small artifacts. And we are really not looking to become a museum. We don't have the space for it, certainly at this point. But small artifacts would be considered. And we want to coordinate this as much as we can with all the other records as well. So I brought some samples here tonight of things. You've already looked through most of this, I think. Just as when you're at home and you're looking through boxes and you see stuff, you think, oh, look at that. That's sort of neat. I wonder if the archives would use that. We don't want to take your stuff away from you. That's not our job. But if you've got things you don't want, and they fit within our mandate, and our mandate is history of North Dumfries Township, not the history of Waterloo County, the history of North Dumfries Township, then we'd be glad to take that for you. We'd be glad to preserve it for you, put a credit on it for you, and make sure that you know it'll last forever. So it could be newspapers. We have lots and lots of things with newspapers. Ron's uncle Earl passed away a couple years ago. Ron has boxes of newspaper clippings and things. Slowly he's going through that, and slowly we're going to be doing it. Sometimes you'll find an old photo, you know, a picture of an old home. This isn't from here, but this is an old family home from us up near Seaforth, and people don't know what to do with it. They like the picture. I got no place to put it. I'm moving to a smaller apartment. What am I going to do with it? We're over here to help. That's our job. Sometimes you find boxes of pictures, and I brought these because there's no name on the back of any of these. These came from my grandmother's house. I have no idea who's on these pictures, but they're interesting pictures. This one in particular, three senior gals, all dressed in black, of course, posing in front of Niagara Falls in the Gorge. Of course, they're not there. There's somebody who's made a big poster in behind there. So it was something that's stylized for the time. So what do you do with this? Do you throw them out? You can. We would suggest don't. You've got people to help you out. Old pictures like this that are a little more up to date, these are from the 40s and 50s. It's done at the castle in Hamilton. Sometimes there's company pictures like this where they laid out the whole sequence of names, the name of the company. There's a couple over here we'll talk about in a minute. Old photo albums. You got these around the house? We have lots of them. Some people do, some people don't. You don't know what to do with them. Your kids don't want them. We'll look after them for them, and your kids can come look at them forever. It doesn't have to be photographs. Sometimes these are almost as valuable because the photos are gone. Sometimes people have got boxes of these. They never knew what to do with them. And we can go through them. If we see something that's very useful, we can certainly have it made over time. Programs for special events. Letters from ancestors from years ago. This is from ancestor of mine who died about 20 years ago. She had lived in Seaforth. She was 84 when she died. And before the last 4 years of her life, she wrote for me about 60 pages of stories, old stories of the family and the neighborhood in Huron County, McKillop Township. And I have all of those preserved that would have been gone for years just because someone put them in a letter for me. My great-grandfather was a bit of a paper hoarder, and he always had a journal. And he was always clipping things out of the newspaper about people he knew, about things that were important to him. He's a political sort of guy, too, so anything to do with that. So documents like this give a sense of what was going on in a time period. Lots of older relatives or ancestors have written journals. This is a journal from one of my great-great-grandparents from years ago. And sometimes books are good. Now, I don't know where my book went. Taylor book. Can someone borrow that one?
I got it right here.
No problem. Just hold it up, that's all. Just hold it up. Most of you have seen the Andrew Taylor book. If you don't have a copy of it, you can buy it at the township office. They've got more there to buy, only 10 bucks. A book that says something about this township, worthwhile having. A book like this, we might question, because this book is a Stanley Gibbons book on the price catalogs of stamps of the British Empire from 1920. It's a nice looking book. Is it something that should be in the North Dumfries archives? Probably not. But if we get materials like this, we're not going to throw them out. We're going to find a home for them somewhere. And that goes for artifacts too.
sometimes there'll be small things, and we would be willing to look at taking small things that people want, don't want in their house, don't know what to do with. And I brought a few examples of this. My great-grandfather was a barber. I have a collection of about 70 of these old razors here. What do you do with them? I keep them because I like them. You might not want straight razors floating around your house. But that's a small piece that we can look after. Same thing with these, and I just brought these. These I got from Gettysburg years ago. This is a Union bullet. This is a Confederate bullet. Small things that people have found, maybe from the War of 1812, you might find something floating around your house. We could look after that for you. This is actually from Brantford, when I worked in Brantford. This is a Brantford Alexander's puck. Alexander's haven't existed for years. It's a great little collectible piece. Kind of thing. Maybe something to do with hockey from years ago. When I read the Air News, in a 100 years ago column, I love that column. Last week it was talking about the hockey games in there and the hockey tournaments and stuff. And that's never occurred to me that back in the 1914s, they were playing hockey the same way. This is a military piece. The mothers in the First World War were given this as a consolation prize for losing their son or daughter, my son primarily, in the war. And sometimes you'll see things like that floating around. People don't know what to do with them. Even photos like this one, which is actually my grandparents' wedding picture. This is not an original photo. It's been a photocopy of a photo. We don't have to have always originals. We're looking for records of the township. And if people are really adamant about keeping their originals, we'd be happy just to copy it. Because eventually what we want to be is the one-stop shopping center for anything to do with the history of North Dumfries. And that's not going to happen in a year. It's going to happen over 10 years. But that's our goal, and that's what we're working toward. Over here, you saw some of this earlier. Again, this is a group shot. This is all North Dumfries stuff that Mary brought in tonight. This came out of the township office, actually. This is the Dickey Settlement School annual picnic in Victoria Park, June 19th, 1926. Some old schools. And everybody likes to look at them. I like to see the family names. I like to see what happened. So those are the kinds of things that we have in community archives. So currently, in the basement, over at the township office, they have some things that are bound and some things that are restored. Some of the records for this township are in Cambridge archives. We know that. We cannot take their stuff away from them. But we can copy some of the stuff that they have, and we will do that over time, so that we have all of the records here as much as we can. Same thing here. Some of the stuff's in the regional archives, some in the regional museum. Some of them here are even at the arena, and some of them, of course, in the library and over at Air News. Our job is to collate as much as we can, and even if it's copies, at least we have a sort of a backup for whatever other people have, and it's available to the public. Community records, we don't have so much, because most of it's in private hands in the township, or in one of these places here. Some of the stuff, as we said before, will be in Cambridge, even in the Paris archives, because of course North and South Dumfries were a unit at one time, so there's a carryover. So this is really where we're focusing, on what's in people's houses that pertains to the history of North Dumfries that they don't want to keep anymore, and we're happy to help them out. So this is a bit of, excuse me, a schematic. Municipal archives in partnership with the community archives creates a total archive concept, and that's what we aim for. What do we need? It's hard to read all of this, but we need to try and help the township out in supporting its collection as best we can, in keeping it in good order, and eventually helping them move it over to the North Dumfries Community Center, where all of the archives will, at one time in the future, reside together. For here, we know that the families have materials, and we want to support them instead of having them throw it away, take that stress out of people's lives. When they have a box of stuff, they know it's valuable, they don't know what to do with it, they can't keep it. Our job is to help people out. Here's some examples. I don't think you see it very well. These are actual records that are in the basement of the township office. This one here is births. This one here is births. You can see water damage, rot damage down the side. Same thing here. So that's the kind of stuff that we would be prepared to support financially in terms of having them restored through the donations that we receive and through our own efforts with the association. Same thing here. This is in the basement of the township office as well. Record of marriage licenses, so I might have some relatives in here. And then we have this, what's left over. It looks like something from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And that's all that's left of whatever that was. Here again, lots of mold. Now, it's not all like that down there, but there is some very old records that were damaged years ago. So what we're hoping to achieve, as I said, is a total archives, partnership between the two groups, the Preservation Society and the township, take the lead in collecting and co-leading and coordinating and organizing and restoring. That's our job, to take that, be the people on the ground who want to help and are prepared to do that. Do some research, collate the township's materials, and provide the one-stop shopping, as I mentioned before. In terms of our funding, in terms of the municipal archives, it's the legal responsibility of the township to look after their own stuff. So they have to provide the financial reserves or the financial resources to look after their archives. We're willing to help them to sort of mitigate the costs. That's our job, to try and keep it from becoming a big tax burden. But they have that responsibility, and we've told them that, and they need to take that on. For us, we're, as I said, privately funded for the most part. We received a $3,000 grant from the Cambridge North Dumfries Foundation, volunteers to help mitigate the costs, and donations. And we've had community donations of $3,200 to date already. So we have $6,200 in the bank, and we have a budget of about $4,500 for the year. Doesn't mean we won't take more donations. Just means that we're doing not too badly for our first year. Considering we don't even have a shelf up yet, we're doing pretty well. Township, I think I've sort of covered this. I don't think I need to say too much more. We will try to get some assistance from them and getting the project better known through the website, and maybe financial support in the future when we combine the two things. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, we feel that we should be looking after it ourselves. So our next steps for us, excuse me, we've got supplies that are being ordered. We have materials to set up at the North Dumfries Community Center. We have an office. We have three tables and four chairs and a bunch of stuff in the windows. That's all we got so far. As soon as we get the shelving from Cambridge, then we'll start to bring the materials in. And at that point, we're going to start taking a look at some of the materials. And Ron's volunteered his uncle's home as one of our first projects to go and take a look through some of those materials and start to bring that in. We're going to be advertising in the community and making people aware, as we're doing tonight, that we exist and that we're a service. We're there to support the community and to support you in managing those records if you don't know what to do with them. And if you do know what to do with them, but you're willing to let us copy them, that's a great thing too. We'll include them in the archival records. We want to assist the township in doing what they're doing. We're looking for memberships. I forgot to bring the membership forms. I'll bring them next month. And local donations, of course. Working with the archivists from the Archivists Association, communicating. I've covered all of that, I think. So we have lots yet to do. So, this one's at lower. Our membership is $10 a year. And you can be a volunteer without being a member. But we would encourage volunteers to be a member. It's a small price to pay. It goes to support the operation of the organization. I just mentioned that one. People who have a couple hours a week, a couple hours a month, have an interest in working with old materials. If that's you, then we're here for you. We also have a lifetime membership fee, and we debated this somewhat. We've set it at $250. So if you're 92, that might not be your best option. If you're in your 60s, I think you're still okay. We will recognize all our donors and all our members publicly.
We have a new sign on the window at the office. It was courtesy of Promotional Graphics from Cale Edworthy. He provided that for us. Tax receipts. Memberships are not tax deductible because we believe there's a service or a benefit that you're getting from the membership. So we don't give tax receipts for the memberships. We do give tax receipts for donations, however, and you can make a donation on to us through the township. We've made arrangements with the township that the checks or money goes to the township. They will give you the tax receipt that then you can use for tax purposes as well. We don't have that availability to do ourselves at this point. And a couple weeks ago, George's brother turned 90. Jim was instrumental in 2004, helping get that project off the ground. And I had never met Jim before until that time, and he was really inspirational for me because I have a real interest in this. I love talking with him. It's been such a shame that he's had the stroke. And based on that, we decided that we would make the first lifetime membership in the organization that's just barely off the ground and make that for Jim Barry. So we made him life member number one. And I think he was pretty happy with that. Yeah, and we were too. That's an example of it there. And that was Ron Sage's idea, by the way. Ron has all the good ideas. This is our group. Not all of them, because Janine's away, and Judy Clayton's away as well. But that's the group that was available the day we had the picture taken up at the Township Community Center. I don't know if you know where this is, but this window faces right into the entrance of McNeil Hall. The McNeil Hall Hall. So when people are in and out of there, they're going to see this all the time. On the window, we'll have all sorts of historical things of interest for people. Right now, it's just to sort of explain who we are and what we're doing. And we've had a lot of fun together. Of course, Rachel in red here. I don't know if you know Rachel. Rachel is in Italy right now. She's still a co-chair with me. She's doing master's degree studies in Italy in her turn right now. She'll be home in June. And then she'll hopefully be back giving us a hand, unless she finds some exotic job somewhere in the rest of the world. So, and that's it for me. So I hope that gives you a pretty good understanding of the project, what we're trying to accomplish, about the kinds of things that we're interested in finding, and how you can support us in your donations of materials, or let us copy stuff, or if you wish to become a member, or if you wish to become a donor. And that's all for me, George. We do have an email. It's on the wall there, and you can email us at this, or just email me anytime. So. Any questions?
Yes, I was going to ask earlier when you had your logo up. Obviously, it was a stylized book. Is it supposed to look like something else as well? I saw several different things in it.
No, I hadn't thought of that, and it just was supposed to be a stylized book.
Okay.
But we'd be glad to hear what you were thinking.
I better not share it. I'm under psychological.
Somebody will be analyzing it before you leave. Yes, exactly. No, that was Rachel's sister is a graphic artist, and she put that together for us, and we just went with that. So, okay, that's
Dave,
great.
Dave, on behalf of the community club, I'd like to thank you for taking this time to do this presentation.
Is this why you came tonight to thank me?
Well, yeah, and it didn't cost him much either. Your leadership in this project is greatly appreciated. This community is rich in history, and to have it be now put together in a place to have it, we appreciate what you've done. Community Club would like to present you with a small presentation. I realize you're Scottish, but it's not Scotch.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Got another little story that you should hear. Kind of hard to find good stories these days that everybody else hasn't heard, but anyway, a football coach walked into the locker room before a big game, looked over to his star player and said, "I'm not supposed to let you play since you failed math. But we really need you in there, so what I have to do is ask you a math question. And if you get it right, you can play." The player agreed, so the coach looked into his eyes intently and asked, "Okay, now concentrate hard and tell me the answer to this. What is 2 plus 2? The player thought for a moment and then answered, 4. Did you say 4? The coach exclaimed, excited that he had given the right answer. Suddenly, all the other players on the team began screaming, "Come on, coach, give him another chance." There's one other guy I want you to hear for a moment. Bruce and Pat Whitmer, a few weeks ago, with a group from the Gleaners, went to the Dominican Republic on a mission trip. And Bruce came back, and I never heard anybody so excited or what he saw there. And I'd like to have Bruce just give us kind of a broad outline of what he did experience there. And if Pat has anything to add to it, Bruce, just take a couple of minutes.
Well, I'm not much of a public speaker, but I was really interested in your names that were on your minutes of that 1950 meeting, because all those names were all parts of our junior farmer organization, and it was really interesting to see that. And it's a little off from what I'm supposed to speak. Anyhow, our tour was sponsored by the Christian Gleaners from the Cambridge area here, and it's where they take seconds of material, food material, and process it and send it to the third world countries, people in distress. So anyhow, we had the chance to be part of that group. There's 14 of us. And Audrey's son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter were part of that tour. And so when we arrived at this destination, and we were taken to the 5-star hotel, and I thought, oh, this is really a luxury. I'm not quite sure what we're doing here. But anyhow, the next morning at 7 o'clock, our bus was to take us out to the destinations where we were supposed to go. And within about 10 minutes of leaving that bus 5-star, you were in poverty. Mm. Almost beyond recognition what people are going through. So anyhow, through the course of time, our project was to build a house for our family, and our group was paying the cost of the house and helping to build it. That was part of the destination part of it. And the other part was to see what our soup is used for in these parts of the world where they have nothing to eat. So one day we were at a school, and there was 114 bowls. That's all they had for soup. And they get one meal a day. So anyhow, in the morning, there's a school class of 114 from grade 1 to 4. And they come and have their meal, one bowl of soup. And as soon as those bowls are empty, we have to wash them and get ready for the next 114 bowls. That's all the bowls they have. And these kids are so well-disciplined. It was hard for me to cope when you got 114 kids and they are so obedient. So that was that part, an interesting part. We were at the orphanage there, and that was a real eye-opener there. This is all part of the Port of La Plata, eh? It's all part of that conglomerate. And the poverty right in the middle of the city is unbelievable. And anyhow, at this orphanage, they had about 46 youngsters. Well, they were from young people on up in age. And they're the cutest little kids you ever wanted to hug and that. Yeah. No, they're really cute. And another interesting thing, we had a chance to visit the alcohol and drug recuperation place that they have there, and it was really quite interesting. The facilities is anything but desirable, but the people are there for a purpose to get straightened out. And they have 47 there right now, and they're going to expand that to 80. And those people were like, I don't know how to describe it, there's an evangelistic part of the program is there too, and they do a lot of singing, and they're really happy, and they're glad to be in that recuperation. And then the beds that they lay on, there's nothing there for them. So a few of them had those mats made out of milk bags, and a few of them had that to sleep on, and most of them were on the floor and whatever else. But anyhow, Mary Auberly, who's one of our group, maybe some of you know her, she was a retired teacher, and Norbert was a teacher at St. Ambrose School in Cambridge, and she's quite a live wire, and she could lead these people and sing songs, and she had them really hooping her up. It was quite an interesting part. And then they dedicated this house that we're building, and in that family, there's a lady, 43 years old, a 21-year-old son, a 15-year-old daughter with a baby, and a 13-year-old daughter, and then the boyfriend, or the father of this 15-year-old baby, is in that house that we built. So there'll be six people in this little house. It's 24 feet. That's the dimension. All the houses are all built the same. And it may be of interest to you that the Cambridge North Rotary Club donated a truck and all the woodworking equipment at that project there. A truck, a Ford truck, and all the equipment. Woodworking saws and rotors and the whole nine yards. And Pat and I, we had the opportunity to saw window frames. That was our job of the housing proposition, because we couldn't lay bricks and get them up high enough and that sort of thing. I guess age was kind of against us on that. But anyhow, we saw that. Norbert and his wife, Pat and I did, we sawed lumber into these containers.
Bruce, yeah? Tell them about the dump.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Don't forget about the dump. Okay, there's the group of Haitian refugees, there's 15,000 of them, are on one side of the city, and then the other group is on the other side. So anyhow, this dump, all the city garbage comes in, they just spread it out on a plateau, and these people come there and they go through for plastic bottles and pieces of tin, anything that they can get together to create a few pennies. And they don't have anything really to eat except what they can scrounge, or leaves and stuff like that they can eat. So anyhow, our group, well, they go there once a day, and the people that are out there come running to get their bowl of soup. And that day we gave out 187 bowls of soup. And then the nice part there, Brian was really into this sort of thing, and they had accumulated a whole bunch of caps for them to wear. And Brian and a few other boys were giving out hats, and they were running short of hats, and so they had a bunch of toothpaste and stuff left over and made enough for the rest of them, so they didn't fight over it. But anyhow, that part was very, very interesting. But just to see these people, they just scrounge all over that, about 70 acres of dump. Their garbage truck comes in and they drive in there and dump it off when they're on the run. And the people are in there picking up. That's the way they live, make their living. That the day that we donated that house, they wanted us to see where this family lives. And it's way up in a mountain, and the roadway is about 4 feet wide where you walk up. Well, anyhow, I didn't have the opportunity to go up there because I didn't think if I got up, I'd never get down. So anyhow, I stayed down. But anyhow, the little kids were down there playing on the street, and they had a football without any air in it, and they're rolling coconuts, green coconuts, they're about that big, and just little things. That was their enjoyment. So I was with these kids. The rest of the people were up about an hour up there. In the meantime, these kids, they all come out and wind up. Everybody had to give you a high five. Everybody, by the time And they came down from there. It must have been about 150 kids were all around us. It was quite an interesting experience. And then when everybody was in the bus, and I was the last one, and they all had to go one at a time, all the way through it. It took forever to get done. And that's the way they operate. But anyhow, I've told you a few of the little things. There's lots more that we talk about. I really enjoyed the 14 of us all melted together as a unit, and all of us were from different backgrounds, and we had a whale of a time.
Well, that concludes our program for this evening. I guess it's time for lunch. If the ladies want to pull that out, we'll have some sandwiches and tea and coffee. And I'm sure you may want to look at some of this material that Dave laid out. And thank you for coming.
Hi, this is Andrew Hunt. I'm from the University of Waterloo, and you're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3, Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
This is Jeff Steger of The Agriculture Show. This is episode number 72, and it was recorded on February the 4th of 2014. It is a recording of the North Dumfries Community Club. The club has been in existence for 100 years and provides information and socializing for the rural community in North Dumfries. But all are welcome.